His name is Lyle Pressler, punk rock legend and music industry vet. His name is Jim Shear, most tenured DJ in the history of music television. It's the Week in Music with Lyle and Jim, and it all starts now.
Hello there, everybody. My name is Jim Shear.
And I am Lyle Pressler.
And on today's episode, Billy Corgan makes nice with Darcy, Shaun White gets sued, many artists are going after YouTube, Bruce Springsteen writes a book, but before all of that, this week, Adele said that she would not be performing at the Super Bowl 51 halftime show because it's not about the music and she can't dance or anything like that. Now, there's a second part to this story, but let's talk about the first part. I'm cool with that. Turning down the NFL, it's like the popular jock in high school asking out the choir geek, and she says no.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I mean, we could do a whole show about how much I hate the NFL, but yeah, no, I'm serious. And by the way,
our show's going to get shut down for you saying that.
Just so everyone understands this, I estimated that I have actually attended over 300 NFL games. Okay, like physically been there. Yeah, no, absolutely.
And, I haven't been to five.
Okay, so there you go. And most people who are fans of the NFL will never go to one. All right, so I was at that many. I have tickets that actually say my seat value was $7.50. That was the old days, guys. That's not the new thing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm really, really happy that she said that. Although I do suspect there's a lot more going on in the background, which leads you to your second thing.
Yeah, but before I get to the second one,
okay,
she would be losing millions of dollars, possibly, right?
I guess.
By not performing at the halftime, because usually there's a big spike in sales after an artist does a halftime performance.
Wait. Isn't her entire tour sold out forever?
Yeah.
Okay, then what does she care? I mean, seriously. In all seriousness. Honestly, it's like,
but
if you're entire
people with lots of money, want more money?
I don't know. Well, yeah. I mean, I suppose they do, but she's going to get more money because there's going to be T-shirts for sales and tote bags and you know, the rest of it.
Okay.
So I
respect her decision, but the second part of the story is that the NFL and Pepsi claimed that she was never even offered the spot. So my question is, did Adele just make that up?
Well, do you think she did?
No.
Right.
I know Adele. I've met Adele.
It's like, if you've ever been on a jury, at the end of the day, the question is, who do you believe? And I think I believe her.
Yeah.
I think I do.
Because back to my jock analogy,
right?
That's like the high school jock, and they said, the choir girl said no to you? No, I never even asked her. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I got you there. No, I believe her 100%. And by the way, the NFL has been now twice involved in the summer, twice involved in stories about whether they did or didn't, because Donald Trump claimed that they had sent a letter to him complaining about the debate schedule, which was weird because the debate schedule was out last year. And they claimed they never sent such a letter. And he sort of dropped it. And I kind of believed them at that point. Mm-hmm. But now I kind of believe her. I don't really know. But
yeah, so Adele will not be performing at the Super Bowl LI halftime show. That's the Roman numeral for 51.
Ah.
Billy Corgan is once again communicating with estranged Smashing Pumpkins bassist Darcy Redsky. Apparently, the first time they've talked in close to 17 years.
Wow.
The band is not ready for a reunion just yet, but the goal, according to Corgan, is having good relationships with the old band. This is good news for me, because I'm a kid from the 90s.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, absolutely. And I think you should have good relationships. I mean, there's no reason not to.
Because remember, earlier this year, He performed in Los Angeles with both Jimmy Chamberlain and James Iha.
And I love James, so I think it's great. I think it'd be really fantastic. And we always talk about reunions, and you know how I feel about them. It's like, yeah, whatever, I don't know. But if you want to do it, do it. But if you're going to do it right. So if they all went out together and actually played all those songs together, I actually might be in the audience.
Oh, okay. And you know what? It would probably happen in an arena.
There you go.
If those four got together. In related Billy Corgan news, he is also the new president of TNA Professional Wrestling. And a lot of times, I don't know if you watch professional wrestling.
You don't know? But, what do you think, Jim? What do you think?
I would say no.
Probably, yeah.
Although I do.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the figureheads actually become part of the storyline. So he may get some camera time in TNA.
So, do you have any behind the scenes information about this? Why is he the president?
Well, he's worked with them. For many years.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's been involved behind the scenes with TNA.
Right.
So now he's just taking the reins. And if anyone's wondering, I shared a wrestling conversation with Billy Corgan, and his favorite performer of all time, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Okay.
There you go.
There you go.
Lena Zawaida, former drummer of Shaun White's band Bad Things, is suing the Olympian skateboarder over claims of sexual harassment, bad business practices, and failure to claim wages. The suit was publicized yesterday. In it, Zawaida accuses White of sending her sexually explicit and graphic images. She claims that White made the band travel with him during his Olympic training, made them move to New York City for several months just because he wanted to live there, and made demands on how she dressed, did her hair, and wore her makeup.
Sounds like the Meat Man. It sounds like the Meat Man. Yeah. Okay, go on.
Yeah, nothing shocking now. No. He is portrayed as a controlling band leader and an aggressive drunk.
Definitely sounds like the Meat Man.
Yeah, there's more. The suit reveals that White stopped paying band members when their day jobs interfered with practicing. After Zawaida was excused from the band, she claims she didn't receive any money she was owed. Now, in a statement released through Shaun White's lawyer, he said, many years ago, I exchanged texts with a friend who is now using them to craft a bogus lawsuit. There is absolutely no coincidence to the timing of her claims, and we will defend this vigorously in court.
I'm perplexed not by what she's claiming. I'm perplexed by his response.
The no coincidence?
Yeah, well, not the no coincidence, because, I mean, he could be referring to something there, and maybe, yeah.
So. Because he's all over NBC at the moment.
Right.
Because he's an Olympian, he's in Rio promoting the Olympics, though he is a Winter Olympian.
Right, but here's a little, behind-the-scenes kind of look, guys. Yeah, you do wait till somebody's actually making some money so that you sue them so that you get the money that they're making. I mean, this is not uncommon or uncalled for. I mean, you don't sue people who have no money because you don't get anything, even if you win. No, I'm confused about his statement about, I sent some texts and now they're being used? What does that mean?
So one of the texts was following a photo shoot.
Okay.
And he said, you wore that sweater. I told you not to wear that sweater. You got to listen to me next time. And then I also heard in jest, he sent her explicit and graphic images.
In jest.
Via text, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's always in jest, right? I mean, Jim, I could send you some...
Until you're sued.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's all in jest until you're sued. And, anybody could take a... I mean, one of the great things about our technology is that it's become so ubiquitous that we could actually... I could sit here right now, Jim, in my little seat. I could move my pants aside a little bit and take an explicit picture and send it to you, which you would not want and which I shouldn't do. Now, maybe I think it's funny... Mm-hmm. But your interpretation of that might be that it's not really that funny, and in fact, you're trying to do something to me. You're trying to assert some sort of dominance over me by doing it. And so I just think in general, and I'm not commenting on the specific story, but I think in general, unless a person actually asks you to send something, don't send it.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. And even if they ask you, you might want to think about why they're asking you.
Yeah, so I would assume we would have evidence.
Yeah.
I would assume these are still on Lena's phone. Now, playing devil's advocate, everything, most of the stuff in this statement is not shocking to me.
Right.
I would imagine he would be a controlling band leader. And I would imagine he would say, don't wear that sweater, because that's not what the band's supposed to look like. And of course, the band traveled with him during Olympic training, because I interviewed the band, and the only reason the band got an interview is because Shaun White was their guitarist.
Oh, so now you've been holding out here a little bit. So you have a skinny on this whole thing.
Because I remember the summer they put out the album, Perry Farrell even gave him a slot on Lollapalooza. When I would look at the schedule, I thought, bad thing, why are we interviewing Bad? Oh, okay, because Shaun White's their guitarist.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
so yes, of course you have to follow around Shaun White, because that's the reason you're getting the spotlight.
Right.
Now, if Shaun did harass her, I have no excuse for any of that. I mean, shame on Shaun.
Well, you know,
but I'm just trying to look at it both ways.
Well, I understand, and I have to say, like, I've the one thing I have not done in my life musically is been in a band with a female. So I've never been in a band with a woman, and I can tell you, being in band with men, there's all sorts of stuff that just gets completely out of control. The talking and the, you know, not so much the acting, but the talking. Okay. So, So I'm kind of wondering what it would be like to be in a band with a woman. Well, actually, I mean, I'm not wondering. I know what it'd be like. And obviously you tamp that stuff down, the behavior. But, you know, the problem with all this stuff is that unless you can actually produce some really clear violations of the law, it all becomes he said, she said, they said.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know anything about Shaun, and I don't know anything about her, and so I, you know, my name's Paul, and this is between y'all.
Yeah, so we'll see how that plays out. So this week, 21 Pilots, they made history by becoming the first alternative duo or group to have two top 10 songs in Billboard's Hot 100. Furthermore, they have been number one on Billboard's Hot Rock Songs chart for 33 weeks. That's a record, although I should point out that the chart has only been in existence since 2009. Mm. They've had three singles occupy the chart in those 33 weeks. So Lyle, your pick of the week earlier this year excelled them to greatness.
Well, I'm perfectly willing to take whatever credit is attached to that, as long as it comes with a monetary compensation to me. But in actuality, it really is my daughter who is a big fan, so it's not really, yeah. But, you know, the only thing I have a problem with is, like, saying, well, it's an alternative duo. Well, okay, so wasn't Hall & Oates an alternative duo when they came out in 1970 or whatever? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
yeah, no, I get
you're
you.
Parsing this thing down to the point where it's sort of like, yeah, okay, whatever. But good for them. Good for them.
Yeah.
And they, I was having this conversation with somebody the other day, and I said, you know, I don't like, and you've talked about this, I don't like everything that they do, okay? Mm-hmm. But what I do say is they have a voice that is original sounding.
Yes, I agree with that.
In the world of everything sounding the same, they don't sound the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pleased to hear that. So there you go.
Yeah, they had their single Ride that they put out at the beginning of the summer.
Yeah.
And it only got traction for a couple weeks, because then they put out the single Heathens off of the Suicide Squad movie. And I thought, well, that's great, because that's going to get more play. But I think Ride could have actually done better if Heathens didn't get in the way.
Yeah, I think that was a little bit of a tactical mistake, but I will say that I do hear Ride a lot, so, you know.
I think it could have been this song of the summer, possibly, if it wasn't for Heathens.
Yeah, you might
but
be right about that.
We'll never know.
Right.
So, Paul McCartney, Taylor Swift, Beck, Kings of Leon, and more wrote an open letter to Congress calling for reform on the law that allows YouTube to host millions of unauthorized videos. The law in question is the 1998 Digital Millennial Copyright Act. It allows companies to post copyrighted content online if they agree to take it down upon request. And then Eagles and Van Halen manager Erzing Azoff is calling for action on two specific issues. Number one, small royalty payments made to artists via YouTube. And two, inefficiency to remove content. Is this the millennial version of Napster?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely it is. It really is. And the thing is, it's funny because I've read actually some things that say that 98% of the video content that's up on YouTube is actually licensed, which I wow. find kind of amazing. And I'm not sure mm-hmm. where they're getting that from, because I don't think so. For instance, I know that no Minor Threat stuff is licensed. I mean, nothing. And if you go yeah. right now on YouTube and you type in Minor Threat, you're going to get, I mean, you're going to get page after page after page of something, mm-hmm. of something, some content. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the thing that I think Erzing is right about, and I'll call him Erzing. Okay. I think what he's right about is this notion of taking the stuff down. Because from what I understand, if you go and try to take it down, it's like you might as well light yourself on fire and jump through every conceivable hoop, do some vaults, hang out with Simone Biles, you know, and have a party, because that's how much it takes to get it taken down. It's not as simple as just, you know, me writing and going like, hey guys, you know, this isn't licensed. Can you please get rid of it?
Can I tell you something? I'm sure. coming at it from a different angle.
Okay.
I make a football web show for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I do it independently. It's called Yens Love the Steelers.
Okay.
And for game one, I posted the episode. 2 hours later, it was taken down.
By the Steelers?
No, by the NFL.
By the NFL, yeah.
But the NFL took it down in 2 hours. So the music industry just needs to team up with the NFL.
Well, that's...
They'll get it taken down in a second.
Don't we all need to team up with the NFL? No, that's interesting that you should say that. And you do know that I went to the final four-peat or whatever it is, Super Bowl game in Pasadena in 1979.
Los Angeles Rams
right,
and Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Rams. And I had... Unfortunately, my father and I were invited to the Rams victory party, which didn't work out. But yeah, so they maybe should hook up with them. But I'm going to tell you right now, Jim, as an individual or as a member of, you know, Minor Threat, if I were to actually go right. and try to do it, it would take months. And
yeah.
And by the way, they're not giving me any of the benefit of the advertising that they have attached to content. Mm-hmm. So... I'm not so sure that this particular action by these folks is completely on point, but I do think that YouTube and Google, because it is Google, right? So I think they need to kind of
like... Yeah, the search engine.
Yeah, I think they need to kind of like work this out. Or, on the other hand, we can just say everything's for free.
Yeah. See, I'm okay with studio recordings and music videos not being posted unless
being
the artist wants them up.
Yeah.
But if you're at a concert and you take out your smartphone and you record 20 seconds of a song, I think that should stay up on the internet.
Oh, I think that's fine. And by the way, I also think it's fine if you want to post a recording of it and sing along with it or
yes.
put the lyrics up. I don't mm-hmm. have any problem with that. And by the way, just to make it clear to all listeners out there, you know, Minor Threat, we're not engaged in going out and like litigating things against people who do that stuff. The only thing we get upset about is when corporations use the stuff to try to sell a product. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I understand at the same time why people don't want to have their recordings posted and basically you'd be able to listen to stuff for free. On the other yeah. hand, I think that ship is largely sailed.
Yeah. Because you could go to YouTube right now and listen to the complete Minor Threat discography.
Absolutely. Or you could buy it on Bandcamp, but you'd have to pay like $7.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't yeah. know. What do
there
you do?
There you go. Yeah. I've got another industry story for you. This week, New York Senator Chuck Schumer and Hamilton star Lin-Manuel Miranda held a press conference urging Congress to crack down on scalpers in the Better Online Ticket Sales Act of 2016. The acronym is BOTS Act. You get it? BOTS. Because scalpers use bots to purchase tickets online. And they do it quickly before anyone else has a chance to even punch in their information. So under this act, scalpers using bots could face certain fines.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
I don't have any problem with that. I mean, I think that if you're actually using some sort of algorithm or way of getting into the internet where you're taking tickets from people who are legitimately trying to get them, then I think that you probably ought to face a fine. But again, the problem with legislation like that is that how far do you go, and what are you trying to do away with, and what are you going to actually do away with when you create a law like that? I don't know. I mean, you know, but I will say that those of us who have tried to get tickets to certain things, like Hamilton, will tell you that it's been frustrating, and you don't get your tickets, and then you are faced with the reality that there are other people out there with superior technology who are actually usurping your stuff. So,
and then the scalpers will charge you $2,000 for a ticket
to
Hamilton.
Yes, they will. However, I have not paid for that. So,
yeah, and I'm waiting for the movie to see. Okay, and I can't see Sia at the Barclay Center in Brooklyn because it sold out too quickly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn those bots.
I know.
So finally, Lyle, before we go to break, according to a new study out of Australia, and 1,000 people were surveyed in this study, regularly going to concerts makes you happier about your life. Sadly... In another Australian study, it was discovered that musicians die 25 years younger than the average person. No.
Okay. Yeah. So there's actually a corollary to this, which I just read this morning. There's a guy at McGill University who used to be in the record business, in some part of the record business, who became a doctor, and he's been studying brain activity. And our friend Sting happened to be in Canada and decided, like, hey, you want to scan my brain? Yeah, I'll drop by and we can do that. So what this doctor does is he plays music, and then he scans the brain to see how the brain reacts to music. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's got a number of different methodologies that he uses. But one of the interesting things was, okay, here's a guy who has won, like, what, 16 Grammys? I mean, you know, The Police, everything else. What he noted about Sting was that Sting... apparently, in the scans, he equated music that you and I would probably not see as being similar or related. So this is an insight into how a person who's incredibly talented musically processes information they're getting from the outside world. So, for instance, he apparently, when they played the Beatles song Girl, and then they played a Spanish... traditional song, Sting's brain equated them and found places where they're the same, whereas you and I would probably listen to it and go, like, that's not the same. You know, that's nothing to do with it. So, I mean, it's just, and it doesn't mean anything. It's just, it's like, you know, it doesn't mean a goddamn thing. But, I mean, it's just kind of interesting. Now, going to your point, yes, but one of the things that does come out of that study is that, yes, you do feel happier when you're listening to music. Death metal. But as far as the second part of what you said was 25 years younger than the average person, why do you think that is? Do you think it's because of drug use or alcoholism or being
in a van
on the road? I mean, like, what, you know?
Were they talking rock stars?
I don't know.
Or people that play at the local bar?
Yeah, it's interesting because I was in the checkout line at the supermarket, and there was it might have been Time or Newsweek or something like that. I mean, I don't even know what's around anymore. But it was the 28, isn't that the age, 28?
27, I think.
27, right? And it was and the whole thing was just pictures of people. The cover was pictures of rock stars who've died. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, and? I mean, doesn't that sound like a statistic that means absolutely nothing, ultimately? It's just something you can come up with?
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't we also do the same thing with people who play volleyball? And we just, you know, we just track everybody who plays volleyball, and we go, oh, yeah, you know what? They all die at 64. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I don't think that there's much to that.
But, but or professional wrestling, because a lot of professional wrestlers seem like to die around the same age.
I would like to add one other thing to our little discussion here, and then that is Apple is apparently looking for a, quote, lyrics curation manager. Now, I've always prided myself as being a lyrics guy, you know?
So yeah, I
know. I think this is a really good job opportunity for me. And here's what they said online were the qualification. Experience managing complex teams, number one. Okay. Minimum 5 years of relevant work experience, which would be what? Reading lyrics? Writing lyrics? Understanding lyrics? Talking about lyrics? Number three, must be self-motivated, flexible, individual with strong communication and leadership skills. Obviously me. Strong analytical skills, including extensive knowledge of Excel and or numbers. Like 14, 23, 71.
Well, I think numbers is Apple's version of Excel.
I know, yeah, but you didn't help me out with that one. Okay, thanks a lot. That's great. And then the fifth qualification must be resourceful, adaptable, creative, and results-oriented with high energy and a positive attitude. Now, that doesn't really say a whole lot about what you're supposed to be doing with these lyrics.
No. Maybe it's just data input.
I guess. I mean, you know, or you actually, but it says curation. If you're going to curate something.
Under the curation category, maybe they get a whole bunch of famous artists to come to curate and you just input their data. I don't think you should apply to it, Lyle.
You've obviously thought this through way too much. Okay, let's move on.
Okay. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to turn on the old carometer. Hey, everybody, Jim Shear with Lyle Presler. And, you know, we've been talking about it for weeks, so why not just turn it on? Here I go, flipping the switch to the careometer. Yeah, baby. From 1 to 10, you tell me what this ranks on your careometer. On September 27th, Bruce Springsteen will release his autobiography, Born to Run, which will be accompanied by an album that features 18 songs that reflect the theme of the book. Lyle, what does this rank on your carometer?
I live in New Jersey, 10.
Yeah! I give this a 7.5.
You know, I have to be perfectly honest with you, and which I always should be. But, you know, Bruce Springsteen is... I'm not a fan. But what I would say is that I do really admire his lyric writing. That's why I should do the Apple job. But I really do. And I think Born to Run has some and here's the thing. I did not know this until literally I was in a foreign country in the late 90s. No, actually the late 80s. And I picked up a book of his lyrics and I read them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that much about him. And obviously I knew who he was. And I read them and I was like, wow, this guy really knows how to write lyrics. This is really cool. And so, yeah. And by the way, I mean, if his autobiography is honest, you know, show you something kind of thing. Yeah, I think it's great.
I love autobiographies and I will probably read this. And like you, Lyle, I wouldn't consider myself a Bruce Springsteen fan. Yeah. So, Lady Gaga's dad, Joe Germanotta, will be releasing a cookbook. The foreword will be written by Lady Gaga. Joe owns a Upper West Side restaurant called Joanne Trattoria. Lyle, what does this rank on your carometer?
Three?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked at the cookbook. I mean, maybe it has some good recipes in it, in which case it would elevate. But just because it's Lady Gaga's dad, I mean, that doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, you know, I would certainly hope that if my daughter becomes a hugely successful model slash singer slash entrepreneur slash Bill Gates associate slash whatever, mm-hmm. they won't just go like, well, hey, her dad just put out a cookbook. You know, it's pretty cool. You should buy it.
I've had a couple meals cooked by you, and they're all good.
Yeah, well, that's fine, yeah. But you still wouldn't buy a cookbook from me, because you know what the cookbook would be?
I might.
Well, you know what the cookbook, it would be like, yeah, throw it on the thing and like leave it there until it's done. There would be, I mean, I'm terrible at that stuff, so whatever.
Yeah, I give it a 3.4.
Well, I think it could go way up. I mean, yeah. You know, if I read it and it was good, then I would.
If you go to the restaurant you really like the dishes, and then those dishes are in the cookbook.
Absolutely, that'd be fantastic.
Okay, so later this month, Prophets of Rage will release their debut EP. It's called "The Party's Over." It will feature 3 live tracks, their remake of Public Enemy's "Prophets of Rage," and 1 lone original titled "The Party's Over." On your carometer, what does this rank?
I gotta tell you, at this point, it's pretty low. You know, it's probably, you know, hovering around the 3 or 4 mark. The thing is, I don't really understand the timing here. I mean, why didn't you just release this to begin with? You remember we talked about this.
At the beginning of the election cycle.
Yeah, exactly.
Before all the conventions.
Right, we talked about this. That, you know, there was this big countdown, and, you know, if they'd released it then, I think it would have been a good story. But now?
I want to know what happened behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm sure
there's
some story.
Rage have done the convention concerts before. This is me just speculating. I don't know if any of this is true. Tom Morello goes to Zach and he's like, hey man, let's reform Rage. Let's play the RNC and the DNC. And maybe Zach says, I'll think about it. And then a few weeks later, Zach says, you know what? I'm not into it. And Tom Morello is left scrambling. And then he calls up, I'll call up Chuck D and be real.
Could be.
And then they finally get around to putting out an EP.
Well, but the thing is, Zach's working on a record, right? So...
Well, for many, many years. For almost 20 years now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to rank this higher than the cookbook. I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
1 original? Come on, guys.
Yeah, I know. 1 original. I mean, you got to do better than that.
That's no EP. That's a maxi single.
Now you know why we don't do that. Because we'd actually have to write at least 2 originals to get by your censor.
I know.
We can't do that.
This to me is a little odd.
Okay.
Live Nation has teamed up with TSA, where concert goers will be enrolled in a TSA pre-check program where they could not only bypass airport security, but get a fast pass to get into their select music festival quicker. What does this rank on your carometer?
Actually, that ranks pretty much like a 10, and I'll tell you why. It's
okay.
Because I think that TSA is the biggest bunch of bullshit that's ever been foisted upon us. I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, this is a garbage entity within the government that is sucking $1 billion a year, and they can't, and every time they do a test where someone tries to smuggle some stuff by them, they lose. They fail, okay? Now, I've been pre-checked before, and pre-check means what? You don't have to take your shoes off, you don't have to take your belt off, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can tell you, and I don't want to go too far because I don't know who's listening. But in all seriousness, if I really were sophisticated enough and desiring to do something bad, I could do it. It's just a bunch of bullshit. And these people, and now, what is this all about? They're teaming up? Since when does the government team up with people? They're teaming up with a private entity to provide some sort of service that they're probably going to charge money for? Are you kidding?
No, I don't know if it's TSA directly, but I believe it's the company that works or consults with TSA.
There's another problem, Jim. Companies that consult and work with our government, okay? You know, there's Blackwater and the rest, and Halliburton and the rest of them. We shouldn't be in this business. If you and I pay taxes, we should pay them to these entities. These entities should do a good job and should responsibly spend the money that we give them. We shouldn't be teaming up with other people. That shouldn't happen. And in this instance, I mean, this has got to be as cynical as the day is long for me. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. So when you want to fly to the desert, what is it called? The desert trip?
Desert trip.
Yeah. And you spend your $7,500 for your seat and you want to get on an airplane, but you don't want to be checked. You what? You can pay some money to do that? I mean, come on. All right. I'm done. Boom. The mic goes down.
Yeah. I'm not even going to rank this one.
No, you can't.
Because I'm not going to use it. Birthdays, Lyle.
Yes, birthdays. Okay, so we got a few that are interesting today. Belinda Carlisle of the wonderful band, what are they called, Jim?
The Go-Go's?
The Go-Go's. But she was actually a really super cool punk rocker well before then. She is now 58 years old, believe it or not. Maria McKee, who was the singer for Lone Justice, and did something that anybody who did this is like, they're good forever. She sang the song If Love Is a Red Dress in Pulp Fiction. If associated with Pulp Fiction, even if you're Urge Overkill, you're good. Mm-hmm. You're golden. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's 52 today. Steve Gorman, who was the drummer, was the drummer for the Black Crowes and the Stereophonics, is 51. And Tony, now I believe it's Hagar or Hajar, who was in the bands At the Drive-In and Sparta, one of my favorite bands, Sparta, wonderful band, incredible band. He's 42.
Wow, okay.
So there you go.
Yeah. Rest in peace to Bobby Hutcherson. He well-respected jazz vibraphonist.
Absolutely.
And now into the top songs and albums of the week. Number one single on the Billboard Hot 100, Cheap Thrills from Sia featuring Sean Paul for a fourth straight week. The number one album on the Billboard 200, Suicide Squad, the album. The number one song on iTunes, Closer from the Chainsmokers and Halsey. The number one album on iTunes, Suicide Squad, the album. And the number one song on Spotify this week, Closer. See, I misread that. From the Chainsmokers and Halsey. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, Lyle and I have our music picks of the week.
Come on, come on, turn the radio on. It's Friday night and I won't be long. Gotta do my hair, put my makeup.
We're back from that short timeout, Jim Shear and Lyle Presler with the week in music. Time now for our music picks of the week. Per tradition, I will go first. The Bouncing Souls from New Jersey, the state in which you reside, Lyle. They put out a new album. Love the Bouncing Souls, probably in my top five bands of all time. There's a song called Digital Twilight Zone. It's not a standout track on the album, but I can relate to everything they're saying. They're preaching to the choir on this one. And I like old man punk rock. We need more songs like this. So I'm going to play it right now. Digital Twilight Zone from the Bouncing Souls.
10-second videos. One-man reality show. This is the future between the world. The modern world is so strange to me. I really miss playing old TV. And now staring at this phone, living in a digital twilight zone. Lost in the future, due to the past. Used to be cool, social outcast. No idea what it's like.
it's just not enough. It's too many wires getting all crossed up. I'm lost in the future, glued to the past. Used to be cool, social outcast. Trying to find where the real world is in a chaos of empty blinking bits and 10-second videos. One big reality show. This is the future we dreamed about. 10-second videos. You won't need a password code. This is the future. Live it all. Let's live it all.
I like it.
There you go.
Yeah, I like it. But my only question is, you know, when are we going to get tired of the UK-styled football chants? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Bouncing Souls live and die by that.
Yeah, no, but they all do. No, I love the Bouncing Souls. I think they're great, and I think it's a good song. And you know what? If people want to continue to make this music and people want to continue to listen to it, yeah, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great. Yeah. I think it's a good choice, definitely.
And sadly, that's the world we live in.
Well, sadly, what do you mean sadly? I think it's kind of happily, right?
The world we live in?
What do you mean? The digital music? The digital, you're talking about the lyrics. Yeah.
Yeah, the message.
Well, that's true. But you know, then if you put a
videos, quick blurbs.
I know, but if you put enough oh, in there, it all sounds good.
Yeah, and that's off their new album, Simplicity. So, Lyle, what is your pick of the week?
Well, my pick of the week is actually the Chainsmokers with featuring Halsey, Closer.
Yeah. Which is
kind of
interesting.
You want to
play and then discuss?
Well, I mean, I'll say it first and then you can play it, but
okay.
But you know, last week I went with the drug dealer track, right? And I was thinking about the Halsey track. And the interesting thing is that I've been having this discussion with a couple of people all summer, which is that I thought the Chainsmokers track was really, really good, but they could not get off of the Chainsmokers track with Daya. And you could still hear it. And you still hear it. I mean, the record company just was like, okay, we want to kind of like substitute this, but they couldn't do it because that's a great track and people have been playing it and they keep playing it. So when I decided this week that I would just simply go with that, and then I noticed that you had, you know, information saying how much it was, you know, added and whatever. And then I looked online and it was the most added track last week. So, or this week. So, I guess I'm sort of, you know, now I'm just sort of in lockstep with the rest of the radio world, but I actually kind of liked it. And here's an interesting thing. Cause we've talked about this several times is that, do you know that Halsey, she sold out Madison Square Garden?
I think I did know that.
And that's,
I think I knew that she could sell out the bigger cities.
And that's kind of crazy.
It is.
Because, and not because she shouldn't be able to or anything like that. It's just that I don't think of that. I mean, I don't think of her as being capable of doing that. But then again, no, I guess OAR can sell out 7 nights at Madison Square Garden. So
yeah.
I have no idea.
21 Pilots can sell out 2 nights.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I love 21 Pilots, but I would think of them more as a Hammerstein type of
exactly.
band.
Exactly.
Like a large theater band, yeah.
But this is why I got out at the wrong time.
So here is Closer from the Chainsmokers and Halsey.
Doing just fine before I met you. I drink too much and that's an issue, but I'm okay. Hey, you tell your friends it was nice to meet them, but I hope I never see them again. I know it breaks your heart. Moved to the city in a broke down car and 4 years, no calls. Now you're looking pretty in a hotel bar and in the backseat of your Rover that I know you can't afford. Bite that tattoo on your shoulder. Pull the sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't ever getting older. Getting older.
bright as the day I met you. I forget just why I left you. I was insane. Stay and play that Blink 182 song. That would beat to death in Tucson. Okay. I know it breaks your heart. Moved to the city in a broke down car. And 4 years, no call. Now I'm looking pretty in a hotel bar. And I can't stop. No, I can't stop.
So baby, pull me closer in the backseat of your Rover that I know you can't afford. That tattoo on your shoulder. Pull the sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't never getting older.
I think I'm becoming a fan of the Chainsmokers.
I am too.
So throughout the year, I'll hear songs on the radio, and I'll think to myself, oh, who is that? I gotta check. And so I'll hit the little button on the display on my car, and it's always the Chainsmokers.
I know.
I said, oh, like I should start getting their stuff. I remember that happened with Imagine Dragons a few years ago.
Right. Okay.
I would always think, oh, yeah, this is kind of catchy. Who is it? Oh, okay, it's Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, they've caught my ear.
No, I mean they have, and I don't even really know anything about them. It's just, it's kind of always there.
So one more break. When we come back, it is time to play Ask Lyle.
I want to take this minute to introduce you to my people.
It does go well with the chicken.
All right, Jim Shear and Lyle Presler with The Week in Music. Ask Lyle time.
Ask Lyle.
So Lyle, I might only have one question, but I might have a follow-up to this question.
Okay.
MCA Day is happening this Saturday at Littlefield Art Space in Brooklyn on DeGraw Street. Lyle Presler will be performing in the Beastie Boys cover band Professor Booty and the Sure Shots. We will take stage approximately at 2:30 p.m. Lyle, my question is, are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, as ready, and I can say this, as ready as I'll ever be. No, I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you, Jim. I would love to have had, you know, a month more of rehearsals. Mm-hmm. But then again, if it were more than a month of rehearsals, I think we'd become so bored of the whole thing that we probably wouldn't even want to do it.
Yeah.
And I was emailing with a friend of mine, and I said to him, you know, he can't come to the show, unfortunately, because he has to work. And I said, yeah, I would buy out your whole shift, but I don't think you'd actually enjoy it that much, and therefore it wouldn't be that great. And I said, and plus the fact we've only had two rehearsals, or we only will have had two rehearsals. And he said, I suspect that's enough for the Beastie Boys. So
it's true.
It probably Listen, is. Although I will,
I'm a huge fan, and I love their sloppiness. That was part of the draw.
But you know what? I think I told you this when we were emailing and texting back and forth. But there's some mental block that I have about Sabotage. But I think I've overcome it. I think I now get it. But yeah. I was just having, not even that thing. That thing is like whatever. But no, it was the one thing I will say about Beastie Boys. The first thing is their fascination with sharps is weird. Okay. Like, I mean, in Minor Threat, it was a lot of like basic whole notes, you know? I mean, like if it was a G, it was a G. It wasn't a G sharp. Now, I suspect it had something to do with the vocal, you know, because the range, right? Mm-hmm. But the other thing they have a fascination with are these off-time things. So, for instance, where I would do 4, they do 3. Or where I would mm-hmm. do 6, they do 5 or 7. And it's just, it's hard. It's hard for me because once you start thinking in a certain way, all of a sudden right. it's like for instance, there's one of the songs where we do the intro, but then it's like we do the intro one time and then it starts on the second time. Well, why shouldn't it start on the third time?
Exactly. I know.
It's bizarre. So I think that's been something that's been very difficult for me to get around. Although I will say that I do like the idea of learning somebody else's stuff because I think it gives you an insight into what they were thinking and how they were doing what they were doing.
So another question I have for you
sure.
is when is the last time that you've performed multiple songs on stage with an electric guitar? Because I remember you told me you did a book signing.
Yeah.
You did one at the summer stage, but I think you only did one song.
No, we did a few songs, but it was acoustic. Yeah. I did one song on stage.
Was it with the Vaccines?
With the Vaccines. Yeah, I did Sometimes Good Guys Don't Wear White. But I was thinking about this, Jim, and actually I think it goes back 26 years.
Wow.
I think the...
Now, when was it?
I think it was the Meat Men, and I think it probably was like 89, 87. No, it couldn't even have been 89. It has to have been like 87, 86, somewhere in that range.
See, if I'm in New York City on Saturday, see, I'm a huge Minor Threat fan, so taking myself out of the picture, if I can see Lyle Presler play 6 songs on electric guitar, I'm there, man. No doubt about it.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, yeah, but it's been that long. It really has been that long. And it's so funny because I was thinking about that. I was thinking about the length of time. And I was also thinking about, like, the motivations that go along with that. And so someone would say to me, well, how come in all those years you didn't do it? And my answer would be, how come it never came up?
Yeah.
But it didn't. It just didn't. I mean, it never came up. It wasn't like there was. It wasn't like there was like, you know, 150 people standing outside my door going, "Can you do it now? Can you do it now? Can you do it now?" I mean, no one was. There was nothing there. So, I think that it took you in the right situation to come around to do it. And you know, as I've told you before, I think this is kind of a nice little bookend thing because I mean, they after all did play a Minor Threat song on stage and. Mm-hmm. So now I'm playing their songs on stage. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to it.
So do
and
I.
We have a practice tonight.
And we have rehearsal tonight.
So once again, if you want to catch it, Professor Booty and the Sure Shots, it's happening at MCA Day, 2:30 p.m. at Littlefield Art Space in Brooklyn. Whole bunch of other cool stuff going down too. But if you just want to see Lyle, you pop in. Maybe come around 2 p.m. so you can squat a space in front of the stage. There you go. So for Lyle Presler, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see yins later.
So long, farewell, I'll be to say goodnight.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.